Happy Tuesday. I am Dawn Ireland, president and founder of CDH International and the host for the CDH radio show. This week we have the Poston family with us, and they're going to share their journey with Micah. So Micah's mom, Shelly, has been a very longtime member of our organization, and she is ready to...
Everyone, we have Shelly here with us. And for those of you who've been a part of the charity for a long time, you know Shelly. And I'm so happy and thankful that we finally get to share her family's journey with all of you. And this is the first time that I've gotten to meet her, even though on video. And so it's absolutely my pleasure to introduce you to Shelly. Shelly, can you kind of set the stage for us and tell us where you live, tell us about your family, and then tell us when you first heard the words, congenital diaphragmatic hernia?
Well, that started back in June of 2008, and when we found out we were pregnant, and we thought of a normal pregnancy, didn't think anything was wrong. We go in for our scan of, see what the baby is, to tell us the gender, and we found out we were having a boy, which we were excited, and but they noticed something different. They really didn't say much about it. They just, since our OB was out of town, it was just us and a sonographer at the time. And she said there was a spot on his lung. That's all she could really tell us, that they would be in touch with us in 2 weeks to find a perinatologist to do deeper scans and 3D ultrasounds and find out what that spot was. So that was the longest 2 weeks basically of our life. At that time, we had two boys at home. Our oldest son is Ryan, and our middle child basically at that time was Colton. Now they are, now Ryan is 23 and Colton is 16, but and a lot's changed, but we'll get to that part in a moment. But that long dreaded 2 weeks came. We met with a perinatologist at a hospital here locally in our town, and they discussed a hole in his diaphragm is basically all he could tell me, and said it was called congenital diaphragmatic hernia, CDH for short, and told me that I needed to abort him, that he was going to have Down syndrome, that he was going to be missing fingers and toes. He would not be normal. I kind of looked at him with a smirk on my face, and I said, "You don't know the God that I serve. Get away from me and do what you got to do." So he left, came back in, apologized. He said, "But I need you to really think about some alternative things about your child, because it's not going to be a viable pregnancy at this time." I said, "Well, you do your amniocentesis, confirm that he is a boy and about the birth defect, but I can tell you now he's not going to have Down syndrome. He's going to be completely normal other than that. And like I said before, you don't know the God that I serve." So they did the amniocentesis. I don't remember much about that because all I was focused on was looking at the ultrasound and seeing his cute little silhouette in the screen as they stuck the needle in my stomach, drew the amnio out of me, sent off to a lab. About 5 days later, he wouldn't call me. He had his nurse call me and one of his sonographers to come in and get the results. And Kevin and I went up there, got the results. He was completely normal other than the CDH birth defect, did not have Down syndrome, had all his fingers and toes, and from what we could see, a head full of hair. And I was so excited and scared at the same time. So they set me up appointments for every 2 weeks after that. And I just did research and Cherubs came up, which is now CDH International, and fell in love with the charity. Started contacting people that I could find out and get more information on this birth defect so I could be adverse to what was going to happen or what to expect really with him. So basically that's where we were. We went through a normal pregnancy other than the last probably 2 months of my pregnancy. I had a lot of polyhydramnose, which meant another amnio reductions once a week. Micah didn't like that needle in my stomach, so he would take the needle and shake the needle around in my belly. You could see my stomach doing waves. It was almost comical with what he would do. It was like he was just a fighter already. And at 37 weeks, they called us in to the neonatologist, which was at the local hospital here, to set us up for delivery for a C-section, and noticed something different and said, Mike is not doing real well in your belly. We need to do something more serious with you. Would you be adverse to taking steroids? I said, no, do whatever you need to do. If you need to shoot me up with them, shoot me up with them. I'll do whatever I need to take to make sure he lives. He said, we're going to give you steroids, but y'all need to think about some things. And we're like, okay, what do we need to think about? They said, you have two kids at home. And we said, yes. Well, you're going to have to move. You're not going to be able to stay in your area in Shreveport. You need to think about a children's hospital. I didn't know where to start with that. All I knew is I just wanted my child to live as long as he could and give him the best chance. So they offered us to go to New Orleans, and I didn't want to go to New Orleans. It just didn't sit well with me. And then they offered Dallas, and Kevin's like, we could go to Dallas, but it still didn't sit well. And I just kept saying, okay, there's got to be other alternatives. Where else can we go? And of course, I've heard of CHOP and different things of what other moms had said. That was even further away from us. But they mentioned Arkansas Children's in Little Rock. I immediately had peace, just because my grandparents were from Arkansas. And it was just, I'd been there, all, you know, on and off all my life, because that was where all my family was from. So we set up to go up there to talk to them and interview that medical team to make sure it was a right fit for Micah, and to make sure they had ECMO if that was needed, and different things that he needed for care.
Okay.
So I'll never forget it. It was on a Thursday or a Monday afternoon. We get to Little Rock around 1 o'clock. Okay. And I made my husband pull over on I-30 because I couldn't quit crying.
Okay. All right.
And I could see children in the distance. And I said, Kevin, you've got to stop. Right. He said, what do you mean? Are you changing your mind? I said, no. I said, but there's angels above that hospital. We've got to go see where those angels are. And of course, my husband thinks I'm crazy because I believe in angels. But now he doesn't. And we get to the hospital, and I'm just mesmerized by this hospital. We go to the third floor and meet with this team for me and a team for Micah. And we talk and laugh and cry and laugh some more. And then we get real serious about what we need to do for him. And I said, before we go any further, before we discuss when we're going to set up delivery and different things, where are these angels that I see on top of your hospital? And the head neonatologist, I'll never forget it, kind of snickered, and she said, you saw him too? I said, see, Kevin, I told you there was angels up there. And he said, no, there's no angels up here. And she said, yes, sir, there is. It's called Angel One. It's our medical transport team that transports these babies. They had angel wings on their helicopters. And that was the angels that I saw. But anyway, 2 weeks later, I'm back up at Children's after making the heart-wrenching decision to move up there, or to be up there to have him. And our two sons stay down here in Shreveport with family and friends. And we have Micah on September 30th, 2009, via C-section, weighing 8 pounds with a head full of black hair, the prettiest child I've ever seen in my life. Of course, his chest was concave, just like what I had researched, thanks to y'all's sight.
Because we called and they said it was still...
It was just, okay. It was impeccable, the crew that took care of him. Where was I?
Talking about that baby's beautiful hair.
Yes, his jet black hair, just like his daddy. And they took him, immediately intubated him, put a bunch of IVs in him, and put him in an isolate, and told me to tell him goodbye. And I was like, I can't hold him, which at the time I couldn't. He was full of tubes and wires and monitors and a ventilator down his throat. And everything that I had heard that was going to happen happened. And I got to touch his foot and told him I loved him. I said, I'll be there in a couple of days, because I had to stay at the hospital for the C-section. And they did telemedicine with me, which I'd never heard of. I think that's the best thing ever for these moms. And put a camera in his bed and a camera in my room. And I got to see him and talk to him, even though he was already on ECMO at 13 hours old, because he was so critical. He could have just passed at any moment. And I was like, you just got to wait till I get there. Just let me hold him one time. And of course you can't hold him on ECMO. You can barely touch him, but they let me touch him. And the three machines finally got his repaired, about 30 days old. And so many surgeries, I can't even count. But pulmonary hypertension was our enemy a lot of times. That's why we stayed on the ventilator with nitric pretty much half his life. We were in the NICU 9 months and had some amazing, amazing doctors and nurses that just loved him and loved on us and fought for his life just like he did on a daily basis. And one day she came to me after he was not doing real good with pulmonary hypertension. We were on the ventilator again. And she said, Shelly, she said, we can't do ECMO. I don't know what else we're going to do. He's not going to make it through the night. And I said, we're going to pray again is what we're going to do. And one of his nurses came in and said, let me lay hands on him. I don't have that gift, but thank God she did. I just know my prayers work when I pray. I don't know what she prayed over him. I don't know what she said to him. I don't know what she said to God, but that room got real hot. And his breathing, they put him on an oscillator, ventilator, because his lungs were so sick, and he crashed. And he coded pretty much that night. And I said, and I just started screaming out to God. I said, you can't take my baby yet. I'm not ready. And that same nurse came back and put her hands on me and Kevin and said, let's go pray as a family. Y'all come with me. He needs to feel your touch. I said, okay. So we put our hands on him and we prayed, and she prayed some prayers and she said things, and that room got real cold at that point. And I looked at Kevin and I looked back down at Micah, and I saw the pink peeps on his ventilator, and he was breathing on his own through that ventilator. I don't know what happened. 2 days after that, he was off the ventilator. His swelling from his pulmonary hypertension went away. And he was on his way to the infant toddler unit, which is the PICU unit down there, because he was getting too big. He was 25 pounds at this point and huge. And they put him in there. And within 3 days, he was back drinking or having his, you know, feeds back. And they discussed a trach with us. And I'm thinking, I don't want any more surgeries. Just because he has to be ventilated again, have to come off the ventilator, and all these trials, you know, the ups and downs of CDH that all these babies have to go through. And I just looked at him. I said, but Mike, I want to see your face without all these tubes. You're going to be okay with this surgery. And he reached out his hand, and like he was wanting to hold me, he was old enough to hold my hand. He was 11 months old at this point. And I said, we're fixing to have your birthday. What do you want us to do? And he just kind of looked at me like, fix it. So we had a vent. I mean, took him off the vent, moved him down to surgery, did his Mickey button and his Nissen, and did a trach. And I got to see my child's face for the first time without anything on it. I could kiss on him and love on him and feel him, and just, he was growing at this point and doing much better with his trach. And we had his first birthday, and everybody came from home up here, up there to see him and play and celebrate. And he didn't know what to think because there were so many people around. So he desatted a couple times, but he got okay, and loved the balloons. And we ended up putting him in a bouncy seat on the floor, and he just went crazy. He just bounced and played, and he just acted like a normal baby again, like, you know, that he was supposed to be. And the party was over, and we're still in the hospital, a year old. And at this point, they're like, for you, you know, y'all can't bring him to Shreveport. You're going to have to think about moving here permanently. And at this point, I'm only seeing my kids and my husband on the weekends. And I was tired of that, and I wanted my family together with him. And I said, well, what do we got to do to get him home? We couldn't say the home word. We'd say Chuck E. Cheese or the park or whatever, because he'd kind of regress a little bit and act out and show out that, you know, he needed a little more support. And They said, well, we got to transition him to a ventilator that you can bring to your house. And I'm like, well, whatever we got to do, we go through strength training and all these different things so I could teach his home health nurses what to do. And by this time, we had moved up there full time. My husband was miserable. He was so used to working for his family business down here. And his dad was had the business that we have now before he retired. And at 13 months old, he got to come home for the first time with home health. I was up pretty much that whole first week with him and the nurse teaching her what to do and telling her how to do a trach change and how to bathe him and how to give him his medicine through his feeding tube and burping him and do all the different things that you're supposed to do. And I figured she would know, but she had no clue. And one night I went to bed because I was exhausted. I just finally had to get some sleep. And I woke up like from being asleep for 20 minutes and the house was real quiet. The kids were asleep. My husband was snoring next to me. And I woke up real startled. And I said, Kevin, something's wrong. He said, what do you mean? I said, the house is too quiet. I don't even hear his pulse ox going off because he liked to kick his feet. And he said, oh, Shelly, he's fine. Just let him go. He's sleeping. His nurse is in there. You need to get some rest. I said, no, something's not right. So I jumped up, got my robe on and ran in there. And thank God I did because his nurse had fell asleep and he had plugged off in his trach and he was coding. I pulled him out of that bed and put him on his trach table. And did emergency trach change and told her to leave. She was done for the night and I could handle it. And I called 911 because I wanted to make sure that, you know, everything was right. And they got there and everything was good. I did what I was supposed to do as a mom and someone that felt like a nurse my whole life doing this. And I said, just put him back in Children's until I can find someone else to come help me take care of him. And we did. They put him back in Children's. He went to the infant toddler unit at this point, which is the transition floor before you go home, but he couldn't go to the NICU. He was too big. PICU was too, you know, he wasn't critical enough to be in there. He just needed to be monitored for a couple of days and ended up getting Pseudomonas in his trach, which is kind of like a flu, I guess, the sweet smelling flu. And it was Christmas at this point, his second Christmas at Children's. And we didn't get to come home for Christmas that year like we had planned, but I left the tree up and his presents were still under the tree. The kids were not wanting to open their presents until he got home, but they opened their presents. And at this point it was the end of December and they're like, he's ready to come home again. Y'all ready? And I'm so excited. I didn't even tell the kids because I didn't want to jinx it this time. And, January 3rd comes and we get in my car. My husband's driving us and we're bringing Micah home, hopefully for the last time, and not have to go back to Children's because he's doing so good. He's growing. He's learning to crawl, doing things that he's supposed to have done before, but he couldn't get, you know, stable enough to learn. And the kids come home from school and there he is sitting on the floor playing with me and they were so happy to see him. And he was doing so good. And we finally had a home health team that was the most amazing. It was all our nurses we had at Children's Hospital in Little Rock. They came home with us. And it seemed like in 2 days, he was a different child. He was just growing and playing and loving his time with his brothers and his mom and his daddy. And we're having a great time. And it was a Wednesday morning on January 7th, 2011. He woke up real early that morning and wanted to play. So I went in there and was playing with him. And then Colton and Ryan got up and was playing with him. Colton even got up and got in the bed with him and was playing with him and playing with his hair and helping me wash his face and getting him dressed. And his nurse was just, I said, Shelly, he had a great night. That was the first night I'd really slept since she had been there. And everybody, it was a good night for everybody. And he waved goodbye to them as they were going to school. And I said, I'll be right back, baby. I'm going to bring your brothers to school and I'll be back. And, you know, you could tell he understood what we were talking about and blew kisses and waved goodbye. So I went and brought the kids to school and went to the post office and came home and got in the shower and started doing some things around the house since the nurse that was doing everything she needed to do. I didn't have to do anything at that point. And it was time for shift change around lunchtime. And the other nurse, the night nurse, came in. And I'll never forget her because she's just an amazing nurse that will never, ever forget about that day. And around 12 o'clock, his ventilator started going off like he was desatting, but he really wasn't. So I did another, we did another trach change, and he had plugged off a little bit, and it was, he was needing to be suctioned pretty good. Just trying, I guess, get used to our house and the oxygen and everything different in the house. And he kept looking to the corner of his room and looking at me, shaking his head, no, no. And I said, Micah, what are you talking? What are you doing? And he kept waving goodbye and blowing me kisses. And I said, you're not going anywhere. And at 12:15, he drew his last breath. And went home to be with Jesus. I don't remember the rest of that day, other than calling 911. Because he still had a heartbeat, but he wasn't breathing real well. And I think he was mentally gone, but physically his body was still here trying to hold on for me. And the ambulance comes and we bring him to the hospital, and his heart just stopped and he was gone forever.
I don't even have words, and I know his story. It's, we all loved him so much, you know, we all knew Micah, and it was such a shock.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've ever actually heard you tell the story in person through video. And so I don't mean to interrupt you.
Well, you're fine. I could be here all day talking about him. There's just so many fun things and things that he taught me as a person that, you know, CDH, there's lots of ups and downs with it. And there's more downs than ups. But I will say this about his little life in 15 months of the lives that he touched that I still hear about from other families that have been affected by this, that survivors that have, you know, they're thankful they didn't have to go through all that, to non-survivors, to different, you know, and even his medical staff, there were so many of them that, I hate to say this, but were not practicing their faith, I guess, the way they should, as they would put it. And when Micah would act out and do his little fits and make us all stand on our tippy toes, wonder what his next trick was going to be, he'd pull through. And he was good like that. He'd bring you right to the edge of that cliff and come back with the biggest, best healing possible, you know. And for the things that he went through, being on ECMO for 31 days and three machines and 25 surgeries, and his patch leaked on the outside, but they went in, they were going to go in one day and fix it, and it was healed. And it was just faith. I mean, I feel like I had more faith then when he was alive than I do now. But with that being said, of he being born, hang on, hold on.
A great day to serve. This is Amanda.
You're doing great, Shelly. You really are.
Some days I wonder. It's just been, I've had him on my heart since you and I talked, and I can't seem to get him to move on, and he won't. And I guess he just needed to be here with me today, I guess.
354.
Text
job in January. Okay, I can put it on the books in the morning for in between 9 and 11. That'll be our first call of the day. Okay. It was the heater before, so it's the same. If it's the same issue, it wouldn't be, but if it's a different issue, then it will be. It'll be your $99 diagnostic fee. All right, I've got you down in the morning between 9 and 11. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Who was that?
The Locks in Plaindale. He's just...
Is he a new customer? I don't know who it is.
The dad was the customer, and he passed away.
Oh,
and now
him.
The son has the house. And he's just smart.
Is it a heat problem or an AC
problem? AC problem. As I said before, it was heat. That's why I told him, if it's a different issue, you're going to owe a diagnostic fee.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, where were we?
We were talking about how many people he impacted in his 15 months.
Well, there's just so many of fellow Cherub family members that I just admire with all my heart, and Dawn especially. She's been my hero since I met you over the computer all those years ago. I unfortunately share the same boat as you, and I hate that for both
me
of
too.
Us and anyone else, but the only thing is, heaven's sweeter because of our babies being there. And the one thing I can say now is having him has led me to adopt two beautiful kids, other than two of my own. We have a daughter now that's 23 that we got at 17. And she's very dear to my heart because I was a foster kid. So we adopted her when she turned 18. And now she's married and going to school and growing up to be a great woman with a good husband. And then we have Jeremiah, which we got at birth. And he is now 4 years old and will tell you that he's here to heal his mama's heart because Micah broke her heart.
Aww.
And I don't know where that came from, but he just came up to me one day and decided to tell me that. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, Micah sent me to you, mama, to fix your broken heart. So I know Micah had a hand in him. And there's so much of Micah in his eyes when I see him. Just because of the little smirks that he makes, or he's so funny and vibrant and a trickster just like his daddy. But, you know, it's okay. But we are very blessed, and I'm very thankful that Micah led me down this journey because it's made me a better mama and a better person. And without God, I wouldn't be sitting here telling you this story. I'm very thankful that we were given this opportunity to talk about him. Because any chance I get, I want to talk about my son to anybody and everybody, because I feel like they deserve a chance to know who he was.
Absolutely. Any of us are blessed to know Micah, even if we only get to know him through you. But I have to say, on a personal note, I absolutely adore you, Shelly, and I have since first day I met you. And going through Micah's journey with you while he was here, and the way you lost him broke my heart, because it was so much like Shane, and I never wanted you to go through that. I never want any of the parents to have to go through that
either.
But the part of his death, where he looks in the corner and tells you goodbye, as heartbreaking as that is, I have to say, has given me so much peace. Because I hope that that's what Shane saw too. I hope that, you know, he looked over and someone came to get him, and that it was not as half as scary for him as it was for me. Just as, like, I'm sure it's for Micah, it was here and gone. You know, and for us, it's awful. We're the ones suffering. And, you know, I don't pretend to know anyone else's faith. And the charity is non-religious because we work around the world. But personally, I know what I believe, and I know how I was raising my son. And Micah's final message to us gave me such comfort. Yes. And I know you telling this story now is going to give so many other grieving parents comfort. And I swore I'd make it through this interview without crying.
I want to. I'm not going
to do it.
I'm sorry. You've got issues. Well, my whole purpose of this, when, you know, you and I have talked about this for a long time, and I've written it all out, and of course it's not here because I'm trying to write a book about what faith is and how one child's journey has encouraged my faith more than anything. And I'm probably up to 500 pages already, and it's probably, God knows how long it's going to be, but, you know, if it even gets published, it probably won't. But all I'm saying, if I could say this to any mom out there that's lost their child or is pregnant or has one that's a survivor, it's a journey we all go through. And there's a reason we've got chosen to be these babies' mamas and daddies. There's a reason. And I never really understood it while my journey with him. I saw the after effects of people coming to me and talking to me, especially of some of the Cherub's families that have reached out to me in the last 11 years that he's been gone, that their child has seen Micah in their room or they talked to him. And I'm floored by that, because all I wanted was for Micah's story to be told, and I wanted it to help someone and give them encouragement and enrich them in what they're going through. And with that being said, one of the Cherubs that's on y'all's site now that lives in our area, her father worked for us, and she's a survivor, and had not near the complexities Micah had, but he was killed right before she found out she was pregnant, or right before she found out Riley's diagnosis. And she said, Shelly, she said, I just need you to go with me. Can you help me? I said, sure, I can. And when they found out about CDH, she's like, is that what Micah had? I said, yes. And she's like, are you serious? But it was so hard. I said, honey, you're not going to go through near what I went through. I can guarantee you that. I just feel that in all my heart. I said, I think I went through the hard stuff to help you through yours. And sure enough, that baby was only in the hospital like 3 or 4 weeks. Had her repair, didn't need it. No, thank you, Jesus. No ventilator, no trach. She's beautiful. And her mom is one of my sweetest friends. And I love that little girl with all my heart. And she'll come up to me, she'll say, look at my scar. And she'll want me to put my hand there. And it's just like, you know, yours is so small. It's so little. And you are so lucky that you didn't have, you know, she has some issues a little bit because she's, doesn't like to eat a lot, but, you know, that's okay. I wish I didn't have that problem. But just her story alone encourages me every day. And if that's the reason why I went through what I went through to help her and her mama, then it was worth it. Micah, I'm sure, is shining down on this earth going, you know, that's my mom. And I'm pretty proud that she still remembered who I am. And that makes me happy, because I'm very happy to be his mom. And if I was given the chance to do that pregnancy over one more time and go through exactly what I went through, I wouldn't tell him no, because it'd give me another chance to see him and feel him and smell him and touch him and all the things moms long to do when their babies are gone. But
I know he is so proud of you. And I had not heard that story you just told about that little girl, that I've got goosebumps. That's just absolutely all Micah right there.
Yep, it is. And it's just, you know, she's reached out. She's gone to, got to go to a couple of the events. I haven't got to go because we've been so busy with work, but I'm going to make a point. I told Kevin, I said, I've got to go because I want to meet other people. And I've got to meet you. You're the main person. I want to just grab and a hug and not let go.
Well, come to Toronto next year.
I plan on it. Trust me. It's already on my calendar on my phone. I will be there.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. You're an amazing woman. I thank you every day for doing this charity for these families and supporting us and loving us through these hard times, even though you have your moments as well, I'm sure. But, you know, I just want to hope one day I can repay you for all that you've done for me and my family.
It takes a team, and you're already giving back because you're helping others, and that's.
I hope so, because that's what it's all about. You know,
Absolutely. We have to help each other through this. We have to make something positive come from all this pain and this grief. You know, we give our babies their memories a reason, you know, other than just us loving them and you know, being their mothers. They have to live on, and they do, and so that's quite obvious. It's my absolute pleasure to know you and to have known Micah. I wish it was under different circumstances, and I am sorry that our journeys are so similar. I wish they weren't, but I am so grateful. But if we had to take these journeys, that we can do it together.
Definitely.
It makes it bearable.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. And if y'all ever need anything here in my area, I would love to do whatever y'all need. I try to bring some awareness to the local hospitals here with some of these babies, but the ones that two of the hospitals call me here when they have a diagnosis of this, that we talk to the moms, and it's an honor to do so. Thankfully, they've had positive journeys with it so far. We haven't had any seriousness where they had to transfer. Well, there's been one that had to be transferred out, but he was very sick and had some other defects as well. And he's an angel looking over us now too. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. There's just, unfortunately, you know, like I tell people before, you know, and I say this as calmly as I can, our babies are on loan to us anyway. They really belong to God, and we only get them temporary. And when he wants them back, he takes them back. Mm-hmm. But we'll see him again. That's a promise that he gives me every day, that I'll see him again. So I'm very thankful for that.
I agree. Well, Shelly, thank you so much for sharing Micah's story with us. Thank you for all you do for the charity and for all the other families, and we love you.
We love you too, and y'all are my heart forever, and I will always be indebted to y'all for as long as I can and I have breath. Y'all will be part of me, and I tell Kevin, just give my check to them. They deserve it, so it's fine.
Well, Micah is a part of all of us, so we're not letting you guys go.
Well, I don't want to, so whatever you need, I'm a phone call away. Thank you, Dawn.
All right, I'm going to stop recording right there, and I Shelly, thank you. I know that wasn't easy. You did a great job. You really, really did. And you really did. And
I just want people to know that, you know, yeah, there's sadness in it, but there's joy too. You know, I mean, my kids now are, you know, Ryan's 20, fixing to get married. My daughter just got married with our 16-year-old son and now the 4-year-old. And it's like, whew. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm almost 46 years old, and I'd have 100 more kids, but my body won't let me, so it's okay.
Well, you're an amazing mom to all of them. And
thank you.
I firmly believe all of it was meant to be, every bit of it. Micah, your two adopted kids, all of it. And
there's your reason.
There is. And he could not have better parents than you and Kevin, really.
Thank you. We try. We're not perfect by no means, but we just do what's right. And we fail sometimes, but that's to get up and start over again the next day and keep on going. That's all we can do.
Absolutely. Well, Unfortunately, I have to scoot because I have another interview in 15 minutes and now I have to redo my makeup.
I love you dearly and you still look beautiful as always.
Oh, I love you too. And you better be in Toronto because I owe you such a big hug.
Oh, I'm not letting go. I'll be there. Trust me. I'll come pulling your shirt strings. You'll see me.
Good. You better. I'll hold you to that. Bye,
that
sweetie.
Good. Bye.
Shelly, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to me. I know that it's never easy to dive into those memories and those feelings and relive those moments. And we are just so thankful that we got to know and love your little guy. And he's always a part of our family here at CDH International, and so are you. And so thank you so very much for sharing him with us. We really appreciate him and you. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to this week's radio broadcast. If you would like to share your story, you can please go to our website at www.cdhi.org/share-your-story. We would love to have you on the radio show. We also feature your little one on all of our social media and our website. And then your angel, your cherub, your survivor, your warrior, whatever you call the person in your life who fights CDH, we would love to feature them on the telethon in April as well. So please go fill out the form, reach out to us, and use our organization as a platform to raise awareness and to share your journey. Once again, I'm your host, Dawn Ireland. It is an honor to be with you all every week. Thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
This is my fight song. Take-